let's recite together. Tatpanyadosha svabhava
prachyami tvam dharma samudha cheta yashreyasyam nishitam bruhitam me shishvastenam sadimam tvam prapannam
Tatpanyadosha svabhava svabhava
prachyami tvam dharma samudha cheta yashreyasyam nishitam bruhitam me shishyasteham shadimam tvam prapannam.
Now I am confused about my duty and have lost all composure because of miserly weakness. In this condition, I am asking you to tell me for certain what is best for me. Now I am your disciple and a soul surrendered unto you. Please instruct me.
Yeah, so one point. So here actually, this is, it said, it's a turning point. So far, you know, Arjuna knew as if he knows everything. And he gave so many explanations. And he was talking with Krishna as a
friend,
right? Yeah. So now he's changing his position. And also, you know, he's trying to realize that he cannot solve his problems. So then all these things, he's realizing that he lost all his composure and he's confused. He himself is admitting. He's also saying because of miserly weakness. So Prabhupada in the purport will elaborate what is this miserly weakness, which Arjuna also realizes about himself. And that's why he's saying, Krishna, you tell me, because you know what is best for me. And main point he says is, no, now I am your disciple and a soul surrendered to you. This is such a nice way, right? Please instruct me. So this is a way to approach spiritual master. So actually, I think that comes in the next verse. It's okay, yeah.
So what is Arjuna confused about? It says, right, I'm confused.
What to do? Indecisive.
Indecisive.
Whether he should fight or not.
Yes. So why he has to fight? So what makes him fight? What's the driving force? So he is a Kshatriya, right? So by his nature, he's supposed to do. So he is confused because he's not able to do his duty. So that's one. And also he is telling, I'm asking you to tell me for certain what is best for me. So he wants to be a sincere disciple. So Prabhupada in the lecture, he says, you know, sometimes guru disciple relationship is very serious. So as here, right, Arjuna was, until this point he was a friend, he was talking in a nice, you know, friendly way, but here he's becoming serious. So that's why he's telling for certain, so you don't want to go around bushes. That's how guru disciple relationship is straightforward. So that's why they don't change the subject matter, right? Usually, you know, the spiritual master, they don't change the subject matter based on the disciple. Oh, maybe, you know, one person may not like if they give the strong message. So they will not take. So they are open. So they give the message as it is. So that we'll discuss more, but yeah, that's one for certain is selling. What is best for me? So that says Shreyas. So in the verse, if you see, right, the last line, not last line, third line, yet Shreya. So we discussed also Shreyas and Prayas. So here he's talking about Shreyas. If you see word to word translation, you can see that Shreya. So what's the differentiating this thing? What is Shreyas and Prayas?
What is the short term versus the long term?
Ultimate. And short term, yeah. So he's asking for long term. What is good for me in the long term?
Why does it say miserly weakness here?
Yeah, that's what we'll cover.
Read that. Okay,
yeah.
Okay, so let's go to the purport.
Yeah, that's a very strong point actually.
By name?
Weakness? Sorry.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying that usually the adjective that he used to weakness, I mean, I've never heard miserly weakness.
Yeah.
Yeah, very weak.
So if we see the definition of miserly, how Prabhupada defines,
yeah,
we'll be surprised. So first let's understand what we know miserly means, right? Generally, what is the definition we have?
Kanjus.
Like you have something, but you're not giving it or you're not using it, right? So let's see what is that something we all have, which Arjuna also has, which he is not using. So we'll guess something. we can't guess. It's okay. We'll be speculating.
Well, let's read your purport.
And one important point is this Sanskrit term, right? Dharma sammudha cheta. So this is what it means, you know, cheta in my heart. Sammudha means bewildered, dharma about my religion. So I am bewildered in my heart about my duty. So sometimes we also may experience these situations, like, you know, I don't know whether I should work or we should stay back home and take care of kids, or, you know, all this. We are bewildered about our duties. So that's
but
normal.
Dharma is duty, right? Dharma is duty.
Dharma is also called religion in general.
Yeah.
But it's also used in context of duty. Here Prabhupada is using religion, okay, word to word. But in the translation, it's written as duty.
Yeah. But word to word translation is,
yes, religion, right? Yes. Yeah. So in one sense, dharma and religion, essentially Prabhupada, whenever you hear dharma, right, he will say it's an intrinsic nature of the entity. So let's say the dharma of water is liquid, like to flow. The dharma of salt is to be salty, right? So like the dharma of a kshatriya, or is its dharma of anything, is its duty, right? It's basically, it's intrinsic to that person, dharma, like that.
Nature.
So that in that sense, religion and duty are, you can say, it's same. Yeah.
By nature's own way, the complete system of material activities is a source of perplexity
for everyone.
Perplexity for everyone.
Do we agree with this? By nature's own way, the complete system of material activities is a source of perplexity. What does perplexity mean?
It's a pregnant sentence.
Complexity.
Complexity or confusion,
confusion.
For everyone.
Is it complexity or is it
perplexity?
Confusion. It's
yeah,
like
surprised.
Bewildered. Yeah.
When you're like surprised, oh, can this be happening? Really? Okay, bewildered. Yeah.
Bewildered. So, any example? Anything, anything,
life.
Prabhupada
daily
says
life.
Here, right? Anything, complete
right.
System.
Right, the complete system.
Like
daily
the birth,
life.
Cycle of birth and
all
the decisions, all the roles you play every day, how you have to...
See, you have certain calculations, right? You'd make so much calculated risk or whatever, right? Investments or, you know, even career or... So much you plan, you know, thinking it's going to happen like this. But what do we see often?
It's often...
So let's take a practical example. For example, that is... let's say it as invention of car. Right? It's a big discovery. Like, it's a big invention. So what does come with the car, discovery of the car? What happens if you buy a car? Yes. So it's always?
Plus and minus.
It's always, right? The grass is greener on the other side too. So there will always come some negative things also comes with it. That's what Prabhupada says here. Material activities. Any material activity you take, there will be opposite side of it.
Actually, Prahlad Maharaj says in 7th canto, like the nature is like that. Like the solutions to the problems... will they themselves cause problems. Like material solutions to material problems cause more problems. That's the statement Prahlad Maharaj says.
We think women staying home, we think we'll go outside, oh, that is nice, like go to work. Okay, we start going to work, then who will start cooking? Then we go and eat, so that's more problem. Then you think, oh my God, I should have stayed home.
How you want to get more money so that you'll be happy, but once you get more money,
you want more things.
I want more.
Yeah.
You want more in one sense, the other thing suffers. Then you see.
Yeah,
the
you're not satisfied
negative.
At the end
yeah.
of the day. Yeah.
So here, nature is prakriti, right? That's what it means. By nature means.
By nature's way, material
is
nature.
Not end capital.
Oh,
is this prakriti?
No,
yeah,
prakriti.
This prakriti, material
prakriti.
Nature.
Material creation.
Material. But the what is the antidote for us, or what is the key for us? See, material activities are going to create perplexity, and we are drowning in them, right? Like we are surrounded by them. So what is the way out of it? Yes, in Krishna's sake, name, basically make them spiritual. So whatever we try to engage them in Krishna's service, then they are no longer material activities. So material activities will cause perplexity. But within the same world, if you do spiritual activities, that will give you more and more peace and happiness.
Mataji, what's the meaning of doing a job and doing it in the context of
Krishna service?
Krishna service. I'm not going to donate what I earn.
Yeah. Now, nowadays it's impossible.
Now you cannot. Maybe if I can
donate 10, maybe I won't donate 10. I'll probably donate 50 paisa or something like that.
So.
That's a good start.
I mean, I said that's a good start.
Yeah, okay, fine.
So, yeah, that is one way. Like, there are different ways in which work can be used as work can be a service to Krishna, like different levels also. Like first, at a basic level, if we start, it's like, you know, even to just maintain my family, I need some income. Even just to stay in US, I need to have some income. Otherwise, if I don't have stable income, I can't even peacefully come to temple and even chant the 2 rounds I'm doing, whatever rounds, right? So at that level, it's service to Krishna, right? Because indirectly, it's facilitating your direct service to Krishna.
But I'm not stopping right there with that minimum sustenance, no matter, like generally not.
Yeah, anybody. Stopping. So they want to increase more and more, right? Do you mean to say that's why? Or?
No. Okay, so if we earn, like, let's say 10 rupees, I have to do that. But we don't write exactly earn 10 rupees, let's say we earn 15 rupees.
Yes.
We don't actually just give the delta away, whatever is my month to. It's not just minimum sustenance that we do, right?
Yes,
we
also
do something more than that.
That's right. Yeah, that is, you know, that's a goal. Eventually, actually Prabhupada says, you know, somebody has to just do as much as body and soul is required to put together.
Basically. Like, to maintain your basic necessities. Earn that. If you are earning more than that, you can utilize those for Krishna consciousness.
Yes. So that depends on, you know, our, first of all, our qualification, and also, you know, how much we can be peaceful by doing that. Let's say today I can give my half my income, but for rest of the month I'm going to, you know, be restless and keep fighting with my wife or whatever, right? Then it's not going to help. So we do these things in a very sustained way.
Yeah, so
that it can be permanent.
Yes.
Right, also
you can sustain.
Permanent, and while doing it, it's not too much painful. And of course, every time giving money is always painful, it is said. But, and actually, spiritual master says that it should pinch you when you try to. No, then only there is some sacrifice. If it's very easy, you know, if you give something which you never use for so many years to somebody as a gift, you don't feel anything. But it's the best thing, you know, you always look at it, you see, you always feel, you know, I'm going to use it sometime, you make all the plans. If you give that, that's the best sacrifice you can make. But this is all very gradual, and it's up to our honesty again, right? We know in our heart, you know, what is luxury, and everybody's necessities are different. So-called perceived necessities. Of course, we have some minimum necessities everybody can live by. But, you know, some people feel, you know, I need such a big house, I need such a car, in order to just to have social standing, whatever they need for their existence.
So at least in the initial stages, it is not really
conscious
or anything like it. It's just we are doing job for ourselves.
Yeah.
Ourselves, but indirectly, because it's facilitating your
stable life towards Krishna.
Yes. At least, you know, it's giving a. If you have only a single family, a single person earning, right? Then it's even more struggle, right? Like you probably wouldn't even come that often to temple, right? So in that way, it's definitely facilitating. So you have to view it in that way. And with the prayer that I would probably engage my work more in Krishna service eventually. By either directly contributing or acting as a Krishna's representative properly. That you can do even now at work. You know, every minute you can see how you can be a good representative. That means you need to perform way well than all others. Not underperform. That's what is expected of devotees. Wherever we are, we do way better than others. That's the greatest glory we can bring to Krishna. So once Harivilas Prabhu was giving class, he was explaining about this principle, and he was telling, you know, devotees have to work hard. So Krishna will protect them always. Even at work, something happens or whatever, he will protect them. Then I was saying that suppose situations are bad, like manager or whatever, does that mean, you know, if I was supposed to move from a team or something was supposed to happen, Krishna will stop all that? Then he told very clearly, doesn't mean you're Krishna's devotee means you don't work and you do, like, you know, crappy job, still you'll be protected. No, you, being a Krishna's devotee, you do best job. Because of that, anyway, you'll get the appropriate results. So that's what is advised of Arjuna, right? That he should not be, you know, lazy. He eventually, he told Arjuna, right? Krishna, you could kill all these people. Like, why you want me to kill, right? But what did Krishna say? Become my instrument, right? He says, Nimitta Matram Bhava Savyasat. You become my instrument. Already they are killed. But you know, you do the job and you get the credit.
Time factor, Duryodhan was already killed.
Yes.
For Krishna's time.
Yeah, they were already killed,
yeah.
Everybody.
But he's using Arjun as an instrument. And also, because Arjuna was his devotee, his insult is Krishna's,
yeah,
possessive about his devotee's insult. So that's why he wants to stand.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I think so. It's actually this is a good discussion, because if you talk about how you do it in Krishna's name, how you do duty in Krishna's name for people like us every day, right? You're working, you're doing things. It's not just, you know, the discussion started off with how much do you contribute.
Yeah.
It's
not
that
just that.
Yeah.
It is doing your work.
Yes.
Even
as a
that
work.
Is even more actually at higher level actually.
Yeah, doing your work.
Just
whatever
giving
you
money
do.
Is sometimes maybe easy also, you know. Once I give, I forget rest of the day, I
yeah.
can do something. But every day if you have to remember, you know, how I can be instrument of Krishna's message, you know, how I can somehow bring them closer to Krishna, like by maybe, you know, once in a while for festivals, prasadam, give them sweets, or some, there are just at least this thought, every day in the morning when we come to work, okay, today how am I going to serve Krishna, or at the end of the day thinking, did I do anything to serve Krishna? If you think like that, then something, Krishna will then reveal how we can serve him at workplace.
It's different stages, as you said. That's one stage. So gradually, you know, work can be used as a service. Then you engage your family members.
Mm.
And finally, you know, complete, you dedicate yourself. So that's why Prabhupada says the guiding principle is simple living, I thinking. That's the guiding principle for...
Yeah, actually we talked about last time George Harrison, right? So he was very inspired as you were discussing. And then at one point he says, he has so much fame, everything, right, with his records. And so he told Prabhupada, you know, I want to join as your disciple. You know, stop all this, I want to become your disciple and I want to join your ashram. Prabhupada said, no, wherever you are serving with that, you can bring more people to Krishna. With that, you know, fame and that popularity and that amount of following, you can serve Krishna better. So you stay where you are, you chant your 16 rounds privately, you don't have to be my disciple, but you serve Krishna like that. So of course, our service to Krishna will be, you know, detailed by our spiritual master. As we, you know, come, that's another thing. That's why, you know, that's importance of spiritual master is going to be covered in this verse. That's why Arjuna is submitting to his spiritual master. Because he's confused about his duty. Same thing will happen to us, right? No, should I work in, you know, this milk company versus what karmic reactions, right? Milk company means, you know, they slaughter animals, all this. Or should I work in Starbucks? Confused about our duty. So every time we face this. So the solution is to approach a spiritual master.
In every step there is
perplexity.
I'm not getting this word. I don't know what.
Perplexity,
and therefore it behooves one to approach a bona fide spiritual master who can give one proper guidance for executing the purpose of life. All Vedic literatures advise us to approach a bona fide spiritual master to get free from
the perplexities of life.
I'm not going to tell this word, I think. Of life which happen without our desire. They are like a forest fire that somehow blazes without being set by anyone. They are like forest fire. Okay. Similarly, the world situation is that perplexities of life automatically appear without our wanting such confusion. No one wants fire, and yet it takes place, and we become perplexed. The Vedic wisdom therefore advises that in order to solve the perplexities of life and to understand the signs of the solution, one must approach a spiritual master who is in the disciplined succession. A person with bona fide spiritual master is supposed to know everything. One should not therefore remain in material
perplexities,
but should approach a spiritual master. This is the purport of this verse.
By the end of this purport, you will probably know how to read this, because so many times it's going to come.
I don't know.
It is perplexing.
I'm really
so
perplexed by the purport.
So Prabhupada here, right? So what's the essence of this? Amazing. He gives analogy of forest fire, right? So forest fire, nobody, right? It automatically happens just by, you know, rubbing the wood or it. So same thing, Prabhupada is saying, even our problems will automatically come, right? Yeah, confusion, the problems, whatever we go through, it happens. And Prahlad Maharaj also says that, you know, happiness and distress, it comes. You don't have to, you know,
endeavor.
We don't endeavor for distress, right? Nobody endeavors for same thing, happiness. We should not endeavor for happiness. It automatically, based on our, you know,
karma,
it automatically comes. Whatever we are supposed to get, we'll get it. So we should never try to be happy or, you know, be distressed. Like, of course, nobody will try to be distressed.
But when you chant Krishna, even you are in stress, he'll elevate, means the stress is going on, but he'll elevate you,
yeah,
from. That's true. There is a problem going on. You are detached. You are
very less, yeah.
Going,
yeah,
through that.
So
yes,
you are on the transcendental,
yes,
platform that,
yes,
time when you chant.
Yes.
You are on above the modes. So that's why you don't feel the,
yeah,
the modes.
So it naturally happens, or you make yourself believe that, well, the problem is never going to stop anyway.
Yeah.
So better let it be there, but let me continue my chant.
Yes.
Yeah, that's Prahlad
Maharaj's
solution.
That's what.
No, happiness or distress are going to come anyway. On their own accord, they're going to come. So let me not focus on them. Let me focus on my spiritual matters.
Yes.
That's
how, yeah,
that's how. In one lecture, Hilas Prabhu said, problems are changing their name only.
If
you see from your birth till now, just changing the name.
Yeah.
They come and go. They will be everywhere,
yeah,
all the time. It's, names are changing.
Yes.
Once you are in spiritual world, then problem will look like a mosquito bite, just nothing. Problem is still very big, but
yeah,
you will consider it as a mosquito bite. So I
because,
remember that line. So
because the austerities we have to do in spiritual life are way bigger than...
And the other point here, Prabhupada is mentioning, is the Vedic wisdom therefore advises that in order to solve the perplexities of life and to understand the science of the solution, one must approach a spiritual master who is in the
discipline.
That's very, very important point. So Prabhupada says, so if you want to, like somebody, you meet many people, now there are so many spiritual, you know, gurus, all those things, right? So you have to ask just two questions. To know whether really they are true or bogus. The first one is, who is God? Right? So, if they give straightforward, clear understanding of who is God, right, that's the first thing, you can understand well. The second thing is, what's the duty of life? What's the purpose of life? So, you ask two questions. If they come and say, no, I'm a spiritual person, give me donation, whatever, you know, you come across many people. So, these two questions. So, what's the answer for the, according to Prabhupada, what's the answer, or according to your understanding, what's the answer for the first question? Who is God?
Bhagavan.
Of course, that's a detail. Just one, like, you know, for you can ask. So if they say Vishnu, yeah, Vishnu or Krishna, right? Supreme Personality of Godhead. Very clear. So they should not take time to tell that. If they are really spiritual person, they should know clearly that, you know, they should immediately tell. Like, you know, Vishnu or Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And what's the purpose of life?
Serve God.
Right? To serve God, take shelter, or eternal servant. We are eternal servants. We have to serve. So just by two things, you can, you know, finish off the clear understanding. What they have understood, what's here. So you'll never get cheated. So that's why Prabhupada always emphasizes, and that's how our scriptures also, you know, all the time emphasizes, that is always should be through disciplic succession. So if somebody you meet and if they see it's parampara is starting from me, I don't have anybody, that means they're completely bogus. So it's always through somebody. If they, even they may be very great, the whoever that person, right? Even they may be a big guru or somebody, but he is under somebody. He should have a spiritual master. And in front of that spiritual master, he is always a fool. Prabhupada very clearly says, in front of your spiritual master, even you are very learned, but you should act like a fool. That's our standard. That's
so Srila Prabhupada says, like the first meeting he had with this spiritual master, I don't know anybody heard this. So what happened was, like Prabhupada was in pharmaceutical business, right? He makes medicines, everything. And from the childhood, his father, Gormohan Day, they are from Gaudiya Vaishnavas, so they were all engaged in Krishna service. And in Prabhupada, even in childhood, he used to do Jagannath Kart, everything. So he had Krishna conscious upbringing, and he used to chant and he used to worship Radha Krishna deities, everything. But of course, now he is a householder and he has family and he has pharmaceutical business to maintain his family. So one of his friends comes and says, okay, now there is a Swamiji coming here, let's go and visit him. Prabhupada said, no, I've met so many Swamijis, they are all, you know, fake, bogus, everything. I'm not interested in meeting them. They said, no, he's very different, this is very different. Let's go and meet. It's like, okay, you're insisting, let's go. So they went, Prabhupada went in that spirit. And he just, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj was there. Oh, you know all this. So he just bowed down. And before even he got up, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati looked at him and said, you look like an English speaking man. Why don't you preach this Krishna consciousness in English speaking language? I'm not telling verbatim, but you know English. Why don't you spread this Krishna consciousness movement in English speaking language? And okay, so Prabhupada didn't understand, no, it's like instruction. But then he came and he had a conversation with him. Then at that time, actually Gandhi movement was going on for independence. And Prabhupada was very much into it. And he felt, you know, that's the right thing. And that's, you know, like as a young person, that's the right thing to do at that time. So he was very much into it. And Bhakti Siddhanta Prabhupada said, no, now we should use our time to, you know, spread this movement. Then Prabhupada said, no, now is the time to get independence first. After independence, no, we can do anything and everything, you know, then we'll be free to do. Then he told very clearly, you know, the urgency is for the movement to be spread. Now we will be, you know, we are under this, and after that we'll be under somebody. It keeps going on like that. We cannot wait for that. But this thing cannot wait. The spreading of Krishna consciousness movement, so urgent, everybody needs it. This thing cannot wait. So, at that time, Prabhupada says, you know, he was defeated by his argument. And then he gradually, you know, starts contributing to, starts following Bhakti Siddhanta, everything. That changes his life. Later on, Prabhupada admits that, you know, he was so happy to be defeated by his spiritual master. So, Prabhu said, right, like, you know, a disciple should always feel he's a fool in front of spiritual master. That's really the position of disciple. But at the same time, it's not like he acts like a fool. He feels like a fool. He acts like a well-behaved or, you know, a disciple who can give honor to spiritual master. But he feels, all I have is the mercy of my spiritual master. So that's why here also it is said that, you know, that he understands he cannot solve his problems on his own. That's the actually starting point of spiritual life. I cannot solve. What are the main problems we are talking about? Janma mrityu jara vyadhi. So we may solve all this, you know, little tiny money problems or, you know, house fixing things, so many things. But you know, the fundamental problems we cannot solve on our own. Right? Unless we have a help from spiritual master who can bring us out of that. So that's what I think it's going to come later on, yeah. And then other thing is, a person with the bona fide spiritual master, how he is able to solve everything. See, we first of all, we are faced with perplexities of life. Then the solution is, what's the solution? Solution is to approach a spiritual master, right? Then, how does it solve?
You know what is to do, what you have to do.
Exactly. So, a person with a bona fide spiritual master is supposed to know everything. That's the way. Supposed to know everything means he knows where to invest our consciousness and what to do in life. And this is what we read, right? In the prayer we read, Om Agnyana Timirandasya. Can anybody read the translation? The first two lines?
I was born in the darkest ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes to the torch of knowledge.
Yeah, that's all. Right? See, I am born in ignorance, so I am mixed with this perplexity. But spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. So, as moment we take initiation, we surrender to spiritual master, we start getting spiritual knowledge. Right? Then we are supposed to know everything, then we know, you know, what decisions to make.
What does disciple means? You know anybody? Meaning of disciple?
Follower. Somebody who follows
the leader. I think disciple is higher.
Yeah. Disciple is nothing but discipline. So that's what actually spiritual master teaches. And you know, usually when we take initiation, because we come under, you know, order, right? Like, you know, if somebody is overlooking you, so that means you are under control. Otherwise, now we are all independent, so we act according to our own nature. But when somebody is there to overlook you, so then you know whatever steps or whatever action you do, that somebody is watching over.
So I was just relating my own thing, right? Once in a while, we do some like service to spiritual master, like personally something. So whenever, once in a while only, directly like there is communication. But always, at least my experience with that is that whenever I do service, always I do a mistake. Normally I feel I'm like so perfect, everything I do so nicely, or maybe I don't even know that I'm doing mistakes because nobody is there to tell me, right? But somehow or other, every time it happens, just even once in 2 months or something, Maharaj sends email saying, you know, do this, right? I do some blunder there and, you know, act as if, you know, I did everything. At the end of it, you know, he has to tell me so many times to figure out, you know, that I did a mistake. It's always a humbling experience, actually. So, because he knows probably, you know, I need the treatment once in 6 months, you know, to keep me on track. It's so wonderful, yeah, to have a spiritual master and to be a servant of spiritual master. So, what is the purport of this verse?
To seek. To follow
last two lines.
So one should not therefore remain in material perplexities but should approach a spiritual master. So that is the purport of this verse.
Second, it's a big one, so you can read
it. Yeah, Prabhu has to learn the word.
I learned many already.
Ten
times now, I think.
Who is the main in material perplexities? Everyone will learn. It is he who does not understand the problems of life. In the
Brihadaranyaka
Upanishad, the perplexed man is described as follows.
Dvasmal lokat praitisa kripana.
He is miserly, miserly man who does not solve the problems of life as a human, and who thus quits this world like the cats and dogs, without understanding the science of self-realization.
Okay, in this paragraph, definition of miserly is going to come. So please watch carefully. It's already came actually. Yeah.
So this is a question.
Definition of what is miserly?
How can I solve the problem?
Yeah. This human form of life?
This human form of life is a most valuable asset for the living entity. Who can utilize it for solving the problems of life? Therefore, one who does not utilize this opportunity properly is a miser. Mm. On the other hand, there is the
Brahmana
who is intelligent enough to utilize this body to solve all problems of life.
Yeah, Brahmana.
So we are all misers.
Yeah.
Every one of us, you know, we fall in this category.
So what is the definition of miser? In this context, who is a miser? Who doesn't use a human life for solving the real problems of life? So, in the original definition of miserly, how do we relate that? Miserly means a person who has something but he doesn't use it or give it, right? So here, what's happening?
Here we have this beautiful opportunity that life, God gave us, this human life. Instead of utilizing it, to liberate ourselves, but we are again engaging in this meditation.
Yeah,
like
that's
we
very
are
nice.
Keeping it.
So we are
for something.
I'm perplexed by one.
Wow, you got to.
How does Arjuna know he's miserly? Because the next question that will come up is, what is solving the problems of life? Solving the problems of life is solving the problem of Janu, Rithu, and that he comes to know later. So, how does he know that he's miserly at this point? Like,
yeah, it's like, going to come in next paragraph. Prabhupada is going to explain why Arjuna realizes he is miserly.
Yeah, in the verb of Kripanya, the soup father. Karpanya, so he says Karpanya, right?
Yeah. Karpanya. So actually, yeah, two words important here. Kripana and Brahmana. So Kripana is miserly, right? And the opposite of it is Brahmana. Brahmana is Udara, right? He's, opposite to miserly, I don't know what is the...
Generous
or magnanimous. So Brahmana is always... why he is magnanimous? Because he uses knowledge, right? He cultivates spiritual knowledge. So he's opposite of miserly. And he is using his life for spiritual progress. So he is not miserly. So Brahmana, Kripana usually goes, they are like, you know, opposites. Prabhu, you were asking something, sorry.
And so this is not Brahmana by birth, it's by virtues and...
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Here everything is about, yeah.
You were asking something, Prabhu?
No, I was saying that, I mean, he said that, how did Arjuna know that he was Kripana? I'm just referring to the verse and seeing where it is mentioned.
Yeah.
But the first word itself is Karpanya, the attribute, the characteristic of Kripana is Karpanya, right?
Mm. Miserly weakness. Yeah, it's going to come. That's also a very nice thing how Prabhupada elaborates that. Let's see that. Yeah.
The Kripanas or miserly persons waste their time in being overly affectionate for family, society, country, etc. in the material conception of life. One is often attached to family life, namely to wife, children and other members, on the basis of skin disease. The Kripana thinks that he is able to protect his family members from death, or the Kripana thinks that his family or society can save him from the verge of death. Such family attachment can be found even in the lower animals who take care of children also.
Probably can this stop?
Yeah.
So, Arjuna, as we know, is a very Maharathi, right? One of the Maharathi. So, what's the force which made him miserly or made him bewildered? What was the...
Attachment.
To all the relatives and friends. So that's the strong force. Then what, you know, he was a powerful Kshatriya. We cannot even imagine, right? Arjuna, what was his position? He's called Maharathi. Maharathi means that, you know, 60,000, I think. He could fight at a time with 60,000 soldiers, single-handedly. We cannot even fight one person, right? You can just imagine how if he is that powerful, if he can come under the confusion or bewilderment, and just because of the attachment.
So,
in previous words, we were talking that one of the qualities is detached. Now we are saying he is attached. So, in previous words, we were saying qualities is
totally detached. He's detached in the sense of, you know, he doesn't want fame and. He doesn't want kingdom for himself, his own self.
He just want to renounce artificially.
Yeah.
And here?
Yeah. Here is family, because he doesn't want to kill them, right? Like grandfather, uncles, relatives.
Attachment, detachment is like a variable component, like a variable.
He's confused, right? That's right. So I think all of the characters are coming in equal measures.
Yeah.
Attachment.
See, that's the question we asked, right, to Harivilas Prabhu. Like, if you read the first chapter, it's very clear. In some purports, Prabhupada glorifies Arjuna as pure devotee, you know, he's soft-hearted because of this nature, he's compassionate. It's not that, you know, we should not imagine that, you know, he is illusion. But actually, he is acting as a representative of us. In some places, he glorifies him. Some places, he says, you know, it's material attachment, you know, he's acting like us, and he condemns him. So how do we understand this? So then, Harivilas Prabhu explained that Arjuna no doubtedly has lot of good qualities. But these qualities, as long as are not used to help him surrender to Krishna, they are no longer good. But if those qualities are used as stepping stone to surrender to Krishna, they become transcendental qualities. So at time to time, what Prabhupada elaborates are his so-called good qualities. He has anyway. But the point fault he is facing right now is he is not surrendering. But eventually he is going to surrender, so it's going to be all good. So before,
we are not that attached to material things in the sense like lifeless things. Rather, we are more attached to the relations, basically. So that's where also Arjuna stands. He was at that point he was detached from all these material things in a way like the lifeless things.
Yes.
But he was attached to the
relations.
But life is also attached because family is coming here in the world, right? Family is also, you should not attach with family. It means you should not attach with any person as well.
Right.
It doesn't matter living thing or non-living thing.
Right.
No, it's Prabhupada says skin disease. So, that's why it's different. So, you cannot... do you mean that you should not be attached to family?
I don't understand the context of skin disease here.
No, let's finish this purport.
No, actually, before that, one second. So, this one, see, just where Prabhu stopped exactly... is the definition and characteristics of kripanas. See, if we now read one by one, we'll see what are the characteristics of miserly persons. First point is they waste their time in being overly affectionate to family, society, country, material concept of life, material conception of life. Second point, because of this, and this is called skin disease, okay? The second point is he thinks that he's able to protect his family members from death.
On his own.
Third point is he thinks that family and society can save him at the verge of death.
So many points.
Right? Such family attachment can be found even, but the point is, such attachment is there even in lower animals. So what is the speciality of human life? See, now these are the characteristics of kripanas. So now if you apply this, if we see Arjuna in this context with this binoculars, what do we see? Arjuna is attached to family, like, you know, all this is family men. Second one, he thinks he is able to protect them. He thinks that, you know, by not fighting this war, they are going to live forever. Eventually, Krishna, that's what he's going to tell. Even if you don't kill them, by nature of the world, they are going to die. Right? So, just act according to my plan. And second, he also thinks that these people, okay, he doesn't think so much that, you know, these people are going to save me from verge of death. So, in that context, Arjuna is thinking himself also miserly. So that's where Prabhupada is going to lead us to understand what's going on in Arjuna's mind now. Who is supposed to read? Okay. Being intelligent,
Arjuna could understand that his affection for family members and his wish to protect them from death were causes of his perplexities. Although he could understand that his duty to fight was awaiting him, still, on account of miserly weakness, he could not discharge the duties. He is therefore asking Lord Krishna, the Supreme Spiritual Master, to make a definite solution. He offers himself to Krishna as a disciple. He wants to stop friendly talks. Talks between the Master and the disciple are serious. And now Arjuna wants to talk very seriously before the recognized Spiritual Master. Krishna is therefore the original Spiritual Master of the science of Bhagavad Gita. And Arjuna is the first disciple for understanding the Gita. How Arjuna understands the Bhagavad Gita is stated in the Gita itself. And yet, foolish, mundane scholars explain that one need not submit to Krishna as a person, but to the unborn within Krishna. It's getting complicated. There is no difference between Krishna's within and without. And no one has no sense of this understanding.
And one who has
the greatest, understanding is the greatest fool in trying to understand Bhagavad Gita.
No, Prabhu will give purport to this purport.
They already said this is the purport in the first paragraph itself. They have only like two more paragraphs.
Wow.
So I think one of the things is that
this is
where the Bhagavad Gita is taking a turn. Basically, represents a turn like, hey, it's going in from a friendly talk
to
I'm
the
going to
serious.
Go and I'm going to the war, and it turns to a serious conversation between a disciple and a master.
This is where philosophy starts.
That's where philosophy starts.
Yeah.
Basically, that's what I got. The other thing is that Prabhupada is talking about foolish mundane scholars explain that one need not submit to Krishna as a person, but unborn within Krishna. That's
something
I couldn't understand.
Yeah, even I didn't.
Is that the Brahman?
When Krishna says, actually, the point is, see this one. Whenever the statement comes, you can remember the. Hopefully, you can remember the context. Prabhupada uses this statement many times in Bhagavad Gita. How Arjuna understands the Bhagavad Gita is stated in the Gita itself. Right? See, how Arjuna understands the Bhagavad Gita is stated in the Gita itself. Means, what is the effect or what is the conclusion that one understands the Bhagavad Gita properly is shown by Arjuna at the end of Bhagavad Gita. What did he do? He surrendered and he surrendered to Krishna's instructions, right? So that is the that's the evidence that somebody understands Bhagavad Gita, that they surrenders to Krishna's will. So whenever you read this statement anywhere, so what are the verses or what are the actions? First of all, he surrendered to Krishna, and he also, you know, this verse actually. In 10th chapter, he admits Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So let's just read the translation. I will show you the verses. He admits Krishna, you know, Param Brahma, Param Dama, Pavitram Idam Uttamam. Is it 10th chapter? Okay, I know the verse, so we can look at the index. Param Dhamma, Param Brahma, Pavitram Idam Uttamam. Pratyaksha. No, that is different. 10th chapter only, right?
Yeah.
Okay. 10, 12, 12. Okay, at least roughly.
10 to 14.
Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Param Brahma.
Yeah. Yeah, Ahuswam Rishaya Sarve Devarshi Naradasthata Asito Devalo Vyasa Swayam Cheva Bravishime. Arjuna said, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the ultimate abode, the purest, absolute truth. You are the eternal, transcendental, original person, the unborn, the greatest. All the great sages such as Narada, Asita, Devala, Vyasa confirm this truth about me. Now you yourself are declaring it to me. So this is the right understanding of Krishna and Bhagavad Gita. So at the end of Bhagavad Gita, one should accept that Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Arjuna, not only he admits, he also says, Asita, Narada, all these great personalities, they accept this about you.
So it's not... an introduction also, right?
Yeah. So it's not only me, you know, if somebody may say Arjuna is Krishna's friend, so he's saying Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead, so it may be a flattering thing. But he's also saying all these other great scholars or devotees, they also accept you as a Supreme. So that is the two understanding of this statement whenever we read this. And the next one about this unborn within Krishna is some scholars, when they commented on Bhagavad Gita, whenever there is a word like, you know, when Krishna says, Manmana Bhava Madbhakto, means remember, always think of me, remember me, meditate on me, worship me, right? They translated it as, it's not Krishna as a person who is present in front of Arjuna, but it's the unborn within Krishna. Unborn within, what is unborn within Krishna? Unborn within Krishna is the Brahman, the soul. So they are saying, ultimately the supreme thing is the impersonal Brahman. And Krishna is, in ultimate sense, he is also, you know, he's a material body, like material body like one of us. But ultimate thing, supreme, beyond this, so, and Krishna is the best, so-called best person in goodness in this world. He's the best, topmost person in mode of goodness. And when Krishna says, you know, Manmana Bhava, it's not to him as a person, but to the unborn within him, which is like the Brahman, the so-called impersonal Brahman. So that is where we need to surrender. So it's so difficult to even draw out and understand that, right? So for us, it's so simple to understand when Krishna says, surrender unto me, to take it as me, which is Krishna. It's so easy that way.
So Krishna didn't say that you should focus on unborn me.
That's right, yeah. That's what Prabhupada said. If Krishna meant like that,
whatever is written, that is wrong.
Which is wrong? Unborn, that is wrong, yeah. So if Krishna wanted like that, he could specify like that. Why he has to do so much indirect things, right? He could have clearly told Arjuna, you know, meditate on me within somewhere, whatever, right? So that's the concocted meanings people bring about.
But here Arjuna says in that 113, he says you are eternal, transcendental, original person, the unborn, the greatest. He also accepts that he is the unborn.
Oh, that is different. That unborn is... that, you know, he's not taken birth, like material birth like all of us.
Because he doesn't take birth.
That way, this is unborn within Krishna, means it's not Krishna directly you have to surrender, but Brahman, something impersonal within. Brahman within you have to surrender. So that is actually Mayavadi representation. So that's why, you know, Prabhupada condemns this. this. Foolish mundane scholars explain that one need not submit to Krishna as a person, but to the unborn within Krishna. There is no difference between Krishna's within and without, because he is absolute. See, for us, our soul and our body are different, right? But Krishna, both are same. Is all absolute. And one who has no sense of this understanding is the greatest fool in trying to understand the Bhagavad Gita.
There's no difference between, there's nothing within and without. Yeah. It's the same.
It's Krishna. Krishna. See, eventually in spiritual world also, we also have spiritual body. But our soul itself has a spiritual body. So there also there's no difference between body and soul. Similarly, Krishna's full form is spiritual. But
there is
still,
no differentiation.
But still, you know, to reciprocate with his devotees, like with Bhishma, for example, he showed as if, you know, blood was coming out of his body. As if it's made of flesh and bones, but it's not.
For us, it's easy to connect and there's
exactly
a form.
Yeah.
Because there's no form.
Yeah.
Mind is very central. It goes.
You tell about your friend. Morning, he meditates.
That's okay. There is one friend at work. So he's a Christian, like, you know, Christian Indian, like convert maybe long time. So he doesn't believe in anything, even he doesn't believe in Christianity. He gave up long time. So now, you know, I give him a lot of prasadam. I know he's piety, he's very nice person actually, you know, as a person he's very good person, very good natured. So I give him a lot of prasadam. I feed him like anything, you know, whatever I take. So he comes me to drop from Seattle to here once in a while, you know, just to drive. He lives in South Seattle. To just drop, we have a very good friendship, he comes here. So then slowly he went through, you know, problems and all, his brother, family went through problems. Then, you know, he started slowly asking, you know, oh, what do you practice? He knows for almost 7 years now. So he knows I practice, you know, Krishna consciousness. Then he's like, you know, he keeps asking information. What do you do? What do you read? You know, all like that. So I give him little bits of information. Then finally, you know, what he's doing. So we had a discussion, lot of discussion, you know. Well, how do you know this book is, you know, it's knowledge directly coming from Krishna. All these, you know, cross questions. Then I try to give him, you know, as what I said, who is God, you know, all disciplic succession, like, you know, different. Then finally, now, you know, what he started. So he gets up in the morning. So he sits up, you know, he gets up. He just drinks some water. He sits down on the floor. For 20 minutes, he just sit, you know, like, you know, just sit quietly and just think something or somebody or some, you know, the situation where it's good, no, you know, bad or something, where it feels him good.
Positive things.
Some positive things, he try to meditate on that.
Mm-hmm.
See how, you know, the people try to, that's all, it's all about, you know, concoction. Then I told him very clearly, you know, yesterday he came to drop me. Then I told him clearly, you know, you have to be very careful with the mind. Mind, you know, it can tricks mind. So I gave him some philosophy again. Yesterday also I gave him some philosophy. You should always have a knowledge before you start meditation. No, you should know what you're really meditating on. Otherwise you will be misled. Then he's like, you know, I put a doubt in his mind a little bit. So, he, you know, whenever he sits for something, he should think, what I'm meditating, you know, what all this. Very nice person. So, but I can see a big
change.
If he has come to that step, I say, you know, Christian this thing. No, we don't want him to, you know, convert or anything. Prabhupada, we have to be very clear on the philosophy. Prabhupada says, our moment is not to change somebody from, for example, they are following Christianity or, you know, Muslim. That's not our duty at all. Not to, you know, take somebody, you make him Krishna consciousness, they need to follow Krishna. We have to make them God consciousness. So even in, for example, in Muslims, they follow Allah, right? Allah is nothing but the different incarnation of the Prabhupada. It says it's a very
bona fide
Christianity. Muslim is very bona fide. So let them become God consciousness. Whether following there, whatever they have their process, but not in a concocted way. So I want him to become, you know, very good Christian actually. You know, he is a very good, nice person. So anyway, it's coming. So he has a lot of concoction, but slowly, you know, you have to peel that layers. Yeah.
So Arjuna is confused, you know.
with respect to his duty to his family and the duty of his dharma. It's a confusion that, it's a problem that everybody
we all
faces.
So mainly because of his, he knows that because of his attachment has become so intense, as Prabhu was telling, that he's overpowering his natural tendency to fight. And being such a great warrior, he's so overwhelmed by this attachment that he's not able to fight. That's why he's feeling very restless and, you know, lost his composure. We have certain nature, right? We have to act in that way. But suddenly something else is forcing us to not act, we feel so out of place, right? We feel like, no, why am I like that? So he's feeling, no, I'm not, what is this? I'm not supposed to be like this. So that's why I'm perplexed. Please give me the solution. What is best for me? So now we understand how Arjuna understands himself as miserly weakness. Prabhu, Rajesh Prabhu?
Yeah.
Now we understand. Okay. So now other thing we wanted to say. Prabhu, you were asking something about skin disease.
Yeah.
So skin disease is like basically this bodily concept, right? Bodily concept, no?
We see
something,
the skin actually.
Exactly.
We don't see the soul.
It's a person.
We are attached to other people as a person.
Like, you know, me and
skin,
my husband,
yeah.
My all related to my body, right? So that's why it's
see,
skin disease.
The other thing you can, you know, if we are family, right? We are attached, right? If it's my wife, I'm attached. But the same person, the other person, I'm not so attached.
If something happens to them, we don't feel.
We don't feel it. So why is that?
Attachment.
Yes. So I say we are, because we are still on that bodily platform. My wife, my kids, like that. But whoever is really Pandita, we will come to that next maybe. So they see everybody as a, no, equal. With the equal vision, see even a dog, dog eater, elephant, everybody they see as, you know, as equal. They
okay,
don't differentiate.
I think this is coming back to the same point which I wanted to elaborate on what Prabhu was saying. That family attachment is wrong, right? Like,
not wrong means
not
wrong. Just to clarify.
Yeah. So that we should be very careful about that. Materially, being attached to family is definitely wrong because it's going to degrade both them and us, right? Because it's just going to entangle us.
No, see here, this line Prabhupada himself is making it clear.
Material,
right?
Concept of life.
So we should always take the whole context. We can read it as, you know, family, society, country. Then we can say, you know, any kind of attachment is wrong. It's not good.
But the problem is the concept.
Yeah.
In seer.
Material concept.
Kripanas, miserly persons, waste their time in being overly affectionate for family, society and country, etc. in the material conception of life.
We should always
read. But if the same thing in spiritual conception, it's not wrong.
Yes.
That's what Prabhupada had for all of us.
Yes.
He didn't even see all of us, but he had thought about benefit for all of us. He is also caring about all of us, right? Society, country, the whole world. But with what concept? That we are all souls, we are lost, we forgotten Krishna, he wants somehow or the other to bring us closer to Krishna, right? So that is spiritual concept of life. Being attached in that way is beneficial. So family attachment is not wrong on its own. Material concept in family attachment is wrong. We have to gradually change into spiritual concept. By what is the practical thing we can do? In family life, how practically we can help each other?
By slowly moving them towards Krishna.
Yeah. So doing whatever is necessary to help facilitate their journey towards Krishna. Husband or wife or kids, parents. That's the only essence. Like, you know, what am I going to do to help them come closer to Krishna? Be it, you know, sometime my wife is sick, I have to help cook her cook. Yeah, that's what it means to, you know, bring her closer to Krishna. So that at least she can chant her rounds, right? Or, you know, whatever is practically possible. But the whole thing, whole meditation is, how can I come closer to Krishna and how can I bring them closer to Krishna? Especially, you know, one should not give birth to a child, one should not become a teacher, one should not become a mother, a father, or a guru, unless one takes a responsibility to deliver the dependent from the cycle of birth and death. This is the one statement given in Shastra. Nowadays, we don't know all this and people give birth or whatever, and like, you know, very carelessly. But that is the ultimate responsibility we are taking when we, you know, take responsibility of bringing somebody into this world.
So
that, you know, I will do all the best, whatever possible, but to facilitate their journey towards Krishna.
It's because we don't know for ourselves, yeah. Right?
That's right.
So today we discussed this one verse. So at least the text 7, it talks all about, you know, Arjuna's confusion, right? But what's the one thing he did correctly in this, right thing he did at the end of that?
He surrendered to
the right person.
So even he was so intelligent, right? He had so many good qualities. He was intelligent, he was using logic, shastra, right? He was discriminating so many things, but finally he got confused. He was seeing through material vision, and finally he became confused. So the...
understood that whatever knowledge he has is not sufficient,
yeah,
for him
to solve his...
Yeah,
exactly.
He couldn't overcome. You know, as a soul learned person, he couldn't overcome. So finally, he gave up and he surrendered. So that's the only right thing he did, you know.
Yeah, that's exactly is going to come in the next verse. How Arjuna, despite of having all this good, like, you know, knowledge, strength, so many things, he's not able to solve the problem.
So it's...
I think we can stop.
Yeah. It's a very important verse, so that's good to be discussed. So it's very important to, you know, slowly. So we'll do one round japa, then we'll go to... Today they have some dandiya.
Dandiya.
So...
In temple law.
I think weekend something happened.
But you have recorded.